Well, hello, everyone. Hello. Nice. Welcome back to the Castro Files. Yay. We've been on a bit of a hiatus for a little bit. We've had a lot going on.
A lot of family stuff.
Yeah. All good. Dealing with some things, which is okay. Yeah. It's part of life.
It just took up a lot of time. It wasn't bad stuff.
Yeah. So we are back. We're recording some podcasts this weekend. You'll see a couple coming out in the next week or two after this as well. But we really want to jump back into this. And I think you'll enjoy the next couple of stories we've got coming up. But today is all about Beth. And Beth did some research.
Did it a little differently this time.
Little different.
Take a story.
Yeah.
I actually did some legwork.
Heck yeah, so.
But I do want to give props to our friends, Ian and Molly, brought us back.
A Frankenstein.
That brought us back a Frankenstein and a Bride of Frankenstein t-shirt.
From Universal Studios in California. So thank you guys, we appreciate it.
We're putting those for them because we also thought it was perfect for the show.
Yeah, it's perfect. So with that, without further ado, we're going to jump into this.
So I recently heard about this poltergeist on a podcast you and I enjoy.
Right.
And it just got me really curious, and I wanted to learn more about it.
Okay, cool.
And learn a little bit more in depth. So I started just doing some research and looked at a whole bunch of stuff and just kind of came together with like what I thought was the interesting parts of the story.
Right on.
So we are talking today about the Cooneen poltergeist. It's possibly one of North Ireland's most famous poltergeist accounts. It continues to intrigue, draw paranormal investigators into the rambling forest and Rackleshack cottage in which is said to reside. Set back many miles from the main road in a wooded area, almost on top of a mountain in County, I'm not going to get this right, but Firminga.
Something
how you say
like
in
that,
Ireland,
yeah.
But yes, sits a run-down and broken cottage. This is an old stone cottage with a red metal roof, no windows or doors left intact, and teenage graffiti on the walls now. The Cooneen ghost is considered one of the most famous ghost stories in history. However, it is worth noting that this house at Cooneen is not home to a normal ghost. In fact, it is much worse than that because it's home to a poltergeist. A normal ghost is said to be a spirit of a dead person who can be encountered in the places he or she frequented or in association with the person's formal belongings. So the haunted home, you know, those kind of things. A poltergeist, on the other hand, is an entity that manifests itself by moving and influencing inanimate objects. A poltergeist actually means noise-making ghost in German, and they have a reputation of being the most dangerous type of ghost.
I didn't actually know that was German.
Yes. Either did I until I did this.
Right.
Yeah, so... And I know we've probably all seen poltergeists tend to
the movies.
Move chairs,
yeah.
Throw cups. In some instances, they can get dangerous. With, mm-hmm. You know, we've seen it on shows where they've chunked knives across
and
the room.
It sticks into the wall or something like that.
So this is about a poltergeist and not just a regular ghost. So let's go back 100 years to a time when a family lived there, the Murphys. Michael Murphy, Bridget Murphy, and their children, Michael Jr., James, Annie, Mary, Teresa, Bridget, Catherine, and Jane Ann. So they're
good lord.
Some say they had 6 kids. Most of them said 8 kids. This one named all 8 kids, so I was going that they had 8 kids.
That's back in the day when you had to have enough kids just in case some of them died to take care of the farm.
One terrible day in 1907, Michael Sr. was killed in a tragic accident, leaving a will of 127 euros to his young widow. But the turmoil for this family didn't end there. About 5 years after the death of Michael Sr., paranormal events started to occur in the house. It began with the occasional knocking on the front door, and when any member of the family would go to answer the door, there would be nobody there. The noises then became more frequent, with knocking on all the doors and windows. Above the house was a room used as storage for the hay. This room was only accessible by a stone staircase adjoined to the farmhouse, and in the room, you could hear heavy footsteps were often heard, every time someone went up to investigate, there was nobody in the room. So initially, when his wife, Bridget, she initially first thought it was her husband coming to
let
her
know the ghost.
He was still around,
yeah.
That he was watching over the family. So she tried to take it as a good thing, like he was just saying he
watching
was still there,
over, watching them, over them, doing that kind of thing.
But as the activity started to ramp up, she kind of eventually had to let go of that idea.
Yeah.
The family then, at that point, decided to get friends and neighbors to come to the house and listen to these strange noises for themselves. Because, you know, obviously people were like, you got to be making this up or you're imagining.
You need somebody to help read. Like, am I going crazy?
Verify that you're doing these things. So they did come and they did hear the noises for themselves. Miss Murray, her children, and some friends would sit in the kitchen listening to the banging on the windows and on the doors and the footsteps coming down the stairs. Unfortunately, things took a turn for the worse when more intense paranormal activities started to happen. Miss Murphy would watch as plates would lift off the table and fly across the room, smashing against the wall. The family would also watch in the bedroom as the bed would lift several inches off the ground by itself and fall back down. That's when she kind of had to start letting it go. It was her husband. Things got so bad that Miss Murphy, in her desperation, decided they needed to ask the church for help. There are different accounts to how many priests actually attended the property, but we know of at least two for sure, a Father Peter Smith and a Father Eugene Coyle of Megabridge agreed to visit the property to witness the occurrences for themselves.
Huh? I was going to say, good job.
Oh, Father Coyle visited the house and watched for himself as mysterious shapes appeared and disappeared on the walls as he stood inside the house. He also watched pots and pans that would suddenly fly across the room on their own. Father Coyle was given permission for two exorcisms to be performed in the house. It is said that during the exorcism, bed sheets would rise off the bed, cups and plates would fly around the room, and deafening groans could be heard coming from upstairs. Father Smith, what? Go ahead.
I'm like, all right, so this is what year again? 1901. Nowadays, we always say, like, get out, like, move, like, leave it. But back then, and you have 130 pounds.
She was a widow with eight kids and no real income. It is said that right after the father died, the kid was only like 13, 15, and he immediately went to work full time so that he could support the family.
Jesus, could you imagine that?
So they were really, really strapped for cash. So leaving
wasn't an option. Yeah.
Father Smith described what he felt like snakes squirming under the sheets of the bed he was sitting on. He also challenged the entity at one point and stated that it felt like a rat under his hand, then an eel wrapping itself around his wrist, but never touching his hand. The priest could hear what sounded like snoring coming from the darkened corners of the room, which would then turn into spitting and hissing.
Eek.
It said that they thought most of the activity centered around one of the Murphy daughters, Annie. Annie and her mother would take turns lying across the bed, and activity seemed to escalate when Annie was on the bed rather than her mother. Both exorcisms were among the very few exorcisms to ever be carried out in Ireland. Unfortunately, neither exorcism worked, and the Murphy family continued to live in this house with the poltergeist. Another witness, one local MP, Chair Healy, and I'm not sure what MP stands for, expressed his utter astonishment at what he had seen, from the dancing shadows to moving objects. It's also said that this particular poltergeist loved music, old songs such as Boyne Water and the Soldier Song. The family stated that the entity had banged and thumped along to the music, and that sometimes the music could be heard going through the house without it actually playing. The Murphys were understandably terrified, and they had hoped that the exorcisms might work. However, the poltergeist in the house just seemed to be getting worse. Things only to continue to get worse for the terrified family as friends and neighbors started to accuse James Murphy, the son, of witchcraft, therefore bringing this entity upon themselves. James was accused of summoning demons and developing an unhealthy interest in the spirit world. It said that he used a book he found in the forest called The Legion of Doom.
What?
The Legion of Doom, that he found it in the forest, that gave instructions on how to practice satanic rituals, how to contact demons, and that he supposedly tried to raise a demonic spirit in the house. This left the family ostracized by their community and utterly alone. It was this story, among others, that became the last straw for the Murphys, and they decided to leave their home and set sail for America in 1913 via a ship that left Glasgow. So they dealt with this for 12
for
years.
For a long time. Yeah.
Much to the horror of the Murphys, it seemed like the poltergeist had followed them on the boat to America, which is really, like most people say, a poltergeist.
Somebody's possessed. An attachment, right?
Right. So you would possibly, right? So they thought it had followed him to America. It is well documented that passengers on the ship complained about the rapping and banging that were coming from the Murphy's cabin. The noises became so bad that the captain went personally to Miss Murphy to tell her to stop making so much noise in her cabin. It is stated that the captain did not believe that there was a poltergeist on the ship, but did, however, threaten the Murphys that he would put them off the ship if the noise continued. So,
what, like on a dinghy? He's going to tow a dinghy behind him? Okay, I'm like, it's like overboard?
Right. It is also said that the poltergeist activity did follow them to their new home in America. But over time, the manifestations and rapping subsided and eventually stopped completely, allowing the family to get on with the rest of their lives the best they could. It is said that one of the girls of the family was so traumatized by these events that she's said to have spent the rest of her life in a mental institution in America.
Jeez.
The property has been featured on Northern Ireland Great Hunts and is very famous throughout Ireland and the UK. Marion Goodfellow, one of the UK's top spiritual mediums, visited the house in 2010. Yeah, thank you. We actually do have a picture.
Here's a picture of kind of it leading up to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then
there's one more close up.
We've got one of a close up right here. There you go. So you can see that. And it looks like a dilapidated. I mean, it's old. It's a 100 plus. Yeah, this is a 100 plus year old building, right? Or home.
Right.
On a big property.
Marion Goodfellow, one of the UK's top spiritual mediums, visited the home in 2010. She said that it was probably the scariest place she had ever visited. She felt the presence of a man as she walked closer to the home and said that the man was very angry and did not want her there. Another visit was by, let's see. So it's I picked up. So does the poltergeist or entity remain in Conan Cottage waiting for the next family to torment? Or did it leave with the Murphys and never come back? Like, did it go somewhere else?
Right.
One team, the County Atrium Paranormal Research Association, CAPRA, who recently visited the property, noted many changes to the property and surrounding areas. They found the property difficult to locate over the overgrown landscape and trees. And we actually have the last picture that does show kind of...
Oops, wrong one. Here we go. There you go.
Yeah. So it is.
It's just forest.
It's an old forest.
I mean, the house is buried in there. Yeah, you can see it, but.
The eerie feeling of the property lived up to all expectations with complete silence and stillness. The cottage itself is in a bad state of repair with the fireplace more or less fallen through the walls and the walls all bowing. The team set up strategic night vision cameras in all three rooms along with audio recorders and some motion sensors. Several EVP sessions were carried out in small groups with lots of questions. The teams placed a REM pod in the main room and picked up disturbances in the electromagnetic field. The closer the disturbance got, the louder the device sounded. After a period of time and playing the soldier song on the penny whistle, they started getting spikes on the K2 meter. At one point, when heading back to their car for a break, they actually heard whistling covering the trees near the cottage, similar to what the penny whistled.
You guys are familiar with a penny whistle?
Mm-mm, what is it?
It's like that. Like
so
it's,
they were playing
it's
song
like that.
With it.
Yeah.
Okay. The team left equipment to run inside the cottage, and on reviewing the audio, they heard movement and shuffling around the room. And they were very careful to like make sure that their phones were off, that they weren't.
There was no
CDs,
outside.
CDs. Like there wasn't anything that could impact the REM. So soon after the movements were heard, the REM pod started to sound quietly at first and then louder and louder over a few minutes. And then just as quickly, the sound faded. On checking the video equipment, nothing in the house was visible that could have disturbed the area. So they did do their due diligence. They played back. They looked for animals. They looked for
anything they could make.
They reviewed the weather. Was there possibly wind that could have caused the rustling? But there was nothing that they could prove caused those
That would
sounds.
Have thrown it off. Yeah.
Correct.
Interesting.
So what do you think? Does this entity remain in wait, still lingering in an old rundown cottage in the forest? People will have their own thoughts and ideas about the Conan guest house or ghost house. Some will say it's haunted. Others will say, wise up, there's no such thing as ghost. And while it's unlikely any of us will come into contact with the dead at Conan Cottage, there are a few places in Ireland that have more of a spiritual presence, and you get the feeling there's something just not right about this house.
Great story. That was awesome. Part of it is like that house you saw. I'm going to pull it back up again one more time just so you guys can see it. That house is so old looking, right? You know, it's well over 100 years.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's Boeing.
And in 1901. That doesn't mean the house was built
in
1901.
Right. They bought this property or her husband bought this property years.
Right.
Could you imagine 10 people in that house?
No.
Because that's ultimately what. When the father was alive, mom, dad, and eight kids. Right.
Yeah. And it was three-room house.
Your bunk bed in it at that point.
Well, they probably had
three kids.
Several kids sleeping in one room and a couple kids sleeping in the room with them.
So with that kind of, I was thinking,
yeah.
The son that was the found the Necronomicon, basically.
Michael
found the Book of the Dead,
yes,
right?
Yes, the movie,
Evil Dead. Right? I was like, that's exactly what he found. Like, what are the, if you ever find a book.
In the forest.
In the forest.
Looking old, dirty, and ratty called anything with doom.
Yeah, it's got the word doom on it. Leave it the hell alone. Don't touch it. Right, just be like, "Hey, mom, come home." Be like, "Hey, mom, there's this weird book out there."
The Legion of Doom.
The Legion
sounds just like it's hell waiting to break loose.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let's not mess around with that. And then I was kind of thinking, what if it was a hoax? What if they just put on this kind of hoax to maybe try and make some money out of it?
Yeah, but I don't think so. The thing is they never asked for money.
I was just thinking, I'm like,
I mean, no, I see what you're saying. Like, because they used to, what was it? It was
but.
Seances. People would do seances.
Yeah, that's where I was kind of going.
They would do these kind of things.
But as part of this story, I think the two priests went crazy.
Well, no. So in some other stuff that I'd heard, I didn't see this in any of my research, but like that first priest that went, he actually got very ill and died.
That's what it was. He died. Yeah.
And the second one did kind of needed a little time in a psychological housing
Hospital. Psych hospital. Yeah. And an insane asylum, basically,
and,
back in the day.
After that, the church didn't send any more priests.
They had two failed exorcisms of the house.
Yeah.
So, shit, I don't know, dude. I'm like, yeah, I'm probably going to America, too. Like, flee.
Yes.
Run away, run away.
I mean, it's weird that it did follow them. It's kind of crazy. Like, people just didn't have tolerance for this. Like, to say they were going to kick him off the boat, this woman and her eight children, wow.
Well, this is after like the Salem witch trials,
right.
And after all of that, people are like, "Look, we got other shit going on. We've got other things to deal with.
Right.
Like, there's a war getting ready to happen, and all of these things, right?" So, I don't know. Great story, though. Ireland is an amazing place.
I really want to go.
I think we should go try and find this house.
I'm sure we probably could. I'm not going at nighttime, but we could. Definitely.
I bet you there's ghost tours there.
Oh, there's probably tons.
We should do it.
We'll see.
All right.
Hope you guys enjoyed the
story. You enjoyed the story. Thank you, Beth, for doing that one. Go out, like, subscribe to the Castro Files. You can find all the audio podcasts out under the bars open with Beth and Greg. You can also check us out on Instagram on the Castro Files.
Yeah, for those of you listening, you can see the pictures.
That way you can see the pictures, exactly. So you can see all of our prior pictures from our prior episodes as well. We've got a lot of great stories. I think we're over 60-something episodes out on the Castro Files. But it's been a little while, so thank you guys so much for bearing with us while we get back into the swing of things.
Give us a comment so that we can help grow this thing.
Yeah.
And then also my favorite line, sharing is caring. So share it with your friends and family.
Absolutely. We will catch you guys at the next one. Cheers.
Bye, guys. See ya.